horizon I see. I love you, I love you, my Lord. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your holy throne tonight, Lord. Lord, we are looking with all expectation, Lord, for you to come and to speak to us tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will anoint me tonight, dear God, to be able to yield to you to where, Lord, that you can come and be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want to read from James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. And what I want to preach on tonight is identifying with what's preached. Identifying with what's preached. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. We can stop right there and preach on that. Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. More times than not, we're swift to speak and slow to hear. Just the opposite. We need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I'll tell you what. Satan loves to get you to a place to where he can, the least little bit of thing sets you off. And what happens is when you give in to wrath, each time you give in to it, the easier it gets to give in to it the next time. And wrath, what is slow to wrath? It means going off like a volcano. For wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's what we're called to do, is to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read to you a little something that, if you've ever listened to any of Brother Branham's messages at all, you'd be familiar with this little illustration Brother Branham gives in several different places, but I'm reading this from the message of identification preached in 1963. Said this little lad must have been raised in such a home. When he come down to visit his grandmother, she had a door, and on the back side of it was a mirror. And the little lad was kind of lonesome, and he looked around the house. And after a bit, he happened to look through the door, and it had been closed since they come in. And in the mirror on his side, he saw a little boy. And he started to the little boy to make friends with him. And as he began to look into the glass, he got up close. And he turned around and said, "Why, Mama, that's me." That's what we want to look at tonight. I want to look at me. I want you to look at yourself. And as we look into God's great mirror of his word, let's be able to identify ourselves with some that we're going to speak about, some of the characters in other times. And I want to see myself in God's looking glass. Because if anything will show you where you're standing, it's this book. There's no book like it because it's all truth. It's all truth because it's the Word of God. So when we come into a service, what we want to keep in mind is that we're coming to look in the mirror. We're coming to look into the reflection of ourselves and God's Word and see how we're measuring up. Not to come in and go out forgetting what we saw or what we heard, writing it off as, oh, that's just Brother Jerry. That's Phil, or whoever. Not writing it off like that, but to realize, look, friends, what do we come here for? If it's not to get ready to leave out of here in this rapture, then we're wasting our time coming here. That should be the reason we come, is to get ready to leave out of here in a rapture. And if that be the case, then shouldn't it be that we would long to get here? Thinking that each service is getting us closer to that place of perfection to where we're ready for the rapture. But here, he said, let's look tonight. I want to look at me, and I want you to look at yourself. We don't come here to look at one another. We don't come here to look and see, well, so-and-so hadn't been measuring up, so I'm going to see what if he gets or her gets preached on tonight. No, we come here to look at ourselves. I come here to look at me in God's looking glass. You should come here to look at yourself and see where you stand. Where do you line up, measure up with God's Word? Message of Questions and Answers. COD book 64. How many remembers my message on identifying yourself with Christian characters? Phoenix, Arizona is where I preached it. Yeah, many of you got it on the tape. See, identified with Christian character. You can identify yourself anywhere you want to in the scripture if you're a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, you can identify yourself in the Bible as well. It says here in the message of identification, now let's look into God's mirror, His Word, and identify our present character by some Bible character. And we'll close just in a few minutes now, identify ourselves. Now, this is the mirror that you want to do like the little boy did, look into it. Let's look into this and see if we can see our reflected by some Bible character. See what they did under certain circumstances and see what we're doing now. Now get me real close now. See what your present character as a Christian is. Now you can judge. That won't make nobody judge you. You judge yourself, see. Nobody's judging you. I'm not passing judgment. But let's just reflect and see how it reflects with some characters of the Bible as we mentioned them. And see where your character is at this present time. That doesn't mean your character can't change. If you're acting like one character in the Bible and you see, oh my goodness, I'm acting like this terrible bad character. You can change. What your character is at this present time. Now notice the Word creates a character. We know that. Now we look into His mirror and identify ourselves by some person in the Bible. One of the things I find as a pastor becomes very discouraging is when I know things that the people have need of. And I come in and I preach to those needs. And the ones that have those needs walk out and never did catch that that message was to them. That becomes very discouraging because then I get to look and see, is it how I presented it? Was there some way I wasn't clear enough? Should I come in and just start calling out names and saying, hey, you, this is for you right here? I mean, it's the truth. It becomes very discouraging when you preach the things and you see the people go out and you're like, The ones that needed it didn't catch it. Then you got some that's doing great, doing fine. You don't see anything going on wrong with them right at the present moment. And they come up to you and say, if that message was for anybody, it was for me. And you think, boy, wrong one. I hit the wrong one. Identify with what's preached. When we come to church, what we should be looking for is God through that man got something that is directed to me? Now, a lot of times the reason we don't identify is because we're in denial. We don't believe that is us, or that's what we're doing. Well, if it ain't what you're doing, then why in the world is God having me preach on it? Somebody's doing it. Or otherwise, then why am I preaching on it? Identify with what's being preached. If you walk out of a service and you can say, well, wasn't nothing in there preached was to me, then I feel sorry for you because something's wrong somewhere. Because when we come in here, we should be pulling on the Spirit of God. Lord, speak to me. Because I'll tell you what, no matter how much God speaks to Brother Todd, that ain't going to get me ready to go in the rapture. If somewhere I'm lacking, God needs to speak to that need that's in me. It's the same thing with you. God ain't going to get my wife ready by speaking to Brother Jimmy. He can speak to Brother Jimmy and get Brother Jimmy ready. So we should be looking at what God is speaking to us and find what is in that service, what is being preached that I should be identifying with. And I'll tell you this, friends, one of the things I do when I come to preach is Brother Branham talks about, he says, sometimes he says, when you're preaching, he says, it's like you're going down a road. And he says, and not everybody's out there to the end of the road where you can pick them up. Sometimes he said, you got to go off this way and down this lane and go and pick that person up and bring them back to the road that you're preaching on. And so I look at that and I think, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit, to where I can catch that when the Holy Spirit begins to direct me, hey, go get this one over here. Bring them back over into here and get them on what you're preaching on. Well, if I can pray and say, God, help me to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that's what we all should be able to pray. Because if we believe the Holy Spirit's the ones doing the preaching, then we ought to be able to say, Lord, help me to be sensitive to the Spirit of God tonight, that I can catch whatever part what you're trying to say to me. Because it ain't what Brother Jerry's trying to say to you. I'm not trying to say anything to you. It's what God is trying to get across to you. Brother Branham says this in one place. He says, if I was God, I'd give you a chance, and when you passed it up, I'd say, that's it. He said, but God doesn't do that. Well, I can agree with Brother Branham. If it was up to me, there have been a lot of things I'd have quit on a long time ago. I'd have said, well, fooey on that. We ain't getting nowhere down that path. We'll just leave it alone forever. Because we ain't making no headway. We're where we were 20 years ago. But God's not like that. He keeps coming, and he'll bring ministry after ministry. He'll bring sermon after sermon, and he'll keep coming and keep coming and keep. Why? Because if you belong to him, sooner or later, you are going to get it. You'll get the point. It's going to hit you sooner or later. Hey, all this time he's been, God's been talking to me. I don't know how he's got the rest of these people ready because he's been spending all of his time trying to talk to me. Look, you think when I sit down in the congregation, I need a fresh bottle of water. Is there any in the back? When I sat down in the congregation here preaching, friends, I'm not sitting there trying to be critical of the one preaching or trying to think of, well, how I could have said it better. Instead, I'm sitting there saying, Lord, what is it you got to say to me? What do you got to say to me? And I'll tell you, when it comes to that, we ought to be able to be in a place, well, give me a glass of water or something. We ought to be able to be into a place where we can be, that's a time we can be selfish. Say, God, I don't care if you speak to anybody else in this place tonight. I want you to speak to me. If you don't speak to anybody else, Lord, please speak to me. He says here, 1963, Phoenix, Arizona, many of them had followed him because the first part of his ministry, he went from church to church. Oh, they gladly received him. They gave him a great hand. Oh, Rabbi, oh, you're a great fellow. But one day he sat down with the scriptural truth. And then when he identified himself not as a healer, but as a sent from God with truth and life, when he identified himself to that, oh, that was against their tradition, even to many that followed him. The 70 turned away and went away. What would you have done? What would we have done if we would have been there? If we'd have been there when the 70 left, what would we have done? I can tell you what you'd do. What are you doing today? Because you had been the same back then. I've heard people say, well, if I'd have been in the days of Jesus and them rejecting God's move and word today. No, you wouldn't have been following Jesus. You'd have been right with all the rest of them and left. But if you're staying with the word today, you would have stayed with the word then. Even when you didn't understand what he was saying. Because he was the word. So to stay with the word was to stay with him. And like I've said this so many times, he turned to the others and said, the other 12, and he said, will you go also? If you would have asked any one of them at that point, what was Jesus talking about just now? They'd have said, I don't have any idea. I don't know. Peter didn't say, Lord, I understand, therefore we're going to say. No, he said, where can we go? Thou alone hast the words of life. Where else can we go? You alone have the words of life. There are times when something might be preached. And you, friends, look, I would say that there'd be less than a handful that understood anything Brother Branham preached while he was here. I mean, there was a lot of things Brother Branham preached that they didn't understand. As a young boy, I sat around and listened to other preachers talk. We'd have these fellowship dinners at the church I used to attend. And they'd have all these preachers come in, and they'd be sitting around a table talking. And I'd be sitting there toward the end just listening. And I'd hear them talk about, what do you suppose this is, and what do you suppose that is? What do you suppose this means? And then somebody give their speculation on what the third pool was. And somebody asked and say, well, you think the third pool could be this over here? That, that was in 1969, 1970. And there were some right then wondering at what Brother Branham had preached. Why? It wasn't time for it to be open to them yet. But they still believed that God had sent that man a prophet. They believed God had sent his word by that man, whether they understood everything or not. Why? Because God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. That's something the prophet said. He said he interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So you wait on the word to be interpreted to you. Wait until the time that God says, all right, now it's time for you to know. They stayed with him, even though they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. Would you do that today? Let's say something was preached in a way that you said, well, I ain't never heard it like that before. What does that mean? Well, I sat over under these two brothers in a nearby state for years, and I never heard it preached like that. Now, I doubt. I don't doubt your word there. Seventy turned and went away. What would you have done? Now, think of it. When a man that you had seen do the very signs of Messiah, know that the Messiah was coming, and he prophesied all this to happen, even to John and them, and he had expressed it thoroughly, and then you followed him and seen the great sign of a Messiah, proving that none of the pastors could withstand the message at all, then all at once he comes around and teaches something that's exactly the word of God, but contrary to the way that you've been taught. Then would you hold to your tradition? Would you go with the 70? Oh, the scripture, clear-cut word. Would you go with the 70? Or can you see now your identification where you would stand? Now think deeply, sincerely. Where would you stand now with your present condition? What group would you be identified in there? Just quickly now, or could you identify yourself with that? What if he comes and around and teaches something that's exactly the word of God, but contrary to the way you've been taught? Have you ever been there? Yes, you have. I know we have here. Because I know there's been, friends, look, there's been things that I was taught when I was young boy. The ministry I sat under was very legalistic. That didn't make it right just because I sat under it. But I'll tell you what, when I heard a message of liberty, then I quickly identified with that. Said, yep, I was one of those bound by that legalism. But now I see the light and I'm set free. I identified with that. Listen to the message of gifts and callings will always find their places. I notice they rejected the identified deity. Did you get it? They will certainly put their names on a church book and say, I'll try to live by this creed. They'll take an oath by this, but when it comes to accepting deity, expressing back the same kind of a gift like they did, that you are identified by your gift, that you give your entire being to it to identify a deity, then you identify yourself with deity by giving all you are, what you are to deity himself. Now, Christ in this day that we live in now is still identifying himself deity among the people. He's still deity because he's the Word. And when we see the Word living itself, then we know that man can't do that. It's deity, the Word being made manifest by man. And Jesus said himself, the Son can do nothing himself. I can't do nothing. I'm a man, Jesus said. But my Father that dwelleth in me, he sheweth me all things that himself doeth. Amen? There you are. What is it? Deity being identified in man. Now the same thing today. That deity, the promised word for this day, can identify itself in you. Amen? Then can you hold to it? Show that you believe it. Give it deity. Believe it. Service. Be ready to die out to yourself and your own thoughts. Be ready to die out to yourself and your own thoughts. Look, there are times I know I've sat in your seat. I've sat out there where you sat. Maybe not as much in this congregation as I have in previous congregation I used to be a part of. I do more behind the pulpit here, I guess, because I'm the pastor. But I've sat out there with you. And I'll tell you, friends, I'm as human as you are. So I understand sometimes if something's being said and you have a thought that seems to say, boy, that just don't, that ain't line up with what my thought was. Well, who made you the authority? Be ready to die out to yourself and to your own thoughts. Look, we either believe that God's speaking here or he's not. As a pastor, God either speaks through me or he doesn't. He don't do it sometimes and sometimes not. I can't have the Holy Spirit speaking through me and other times have a devil speaking through me. Has there been men, preachers, that have got up and spoke of themselves? I believe they may have been ever so sincere. But if they themselves, friends, weren't filled with the Spirit, they couldn't help but be what they were. It's easy to see if a man's trying to draw people to point people to himself rather than pointing them to Jesus Christ. The identified masterpiece of God. Pardon me. Brother Bam says, so you see, he wants to cut the church out. Just like he did the son out, like he did the bride and the groom. To be his bride, you must be part of him. Not part of the creed, not part of the church, not part of the denomination, but part of him. Hewed out of any other kind of form won't work. You've got to be hewed from the Word. The world cut off of you. Just leave the Word only live in you. The great sculptor is counting on you, willing to stand and have yourself shaped into the likeness of his requirement that his word requires. In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Christ is identified masterpiece of the word made flesh. You are asked to identify yourself in him by the same word to be the masterpiece for the bride. And how does he hew us out from the word? What does he use to sculpt us? I'll read you several short little quotes here. the Holy Spirit is present. His presence is here. The preaching of the word brings his presence. I just seem like I got a lump up in my throat when I see the young and old raising their hands from the preaching of the word. Still the most mighty force in the world. Preaching of the word. Oh my, I love to see God heal his children, certainly. Don't get me wrong, but one reason I've been noticing, if you notice lately, I've been trying everywhere I go when I get an invitation is to press in to preach just a little bit. I've let down on my preaching, and it's putting too much on the anointing and working on the eternal part of the supernatural rather than when to see visions. And they're wonderful, and I thank God for it. But yet the preaching of the word is a million miles beyond that. How could the preaching of the word be a million miles beyond the lame getting healed and walking, the blind eyes seeing? That's because anybody can get healed. That doesn't mean they're a believer. Brother, we know that from things Brother Branham says. He witnessed himself. Somebody come up and have faith to believe and get healed in that and go out and not even serve God. But the preaching of the word does a changing of the soul. Listen to this analogy he's given. This little deer wanting to wander out from the flock where she had protection, away from the church where she gets the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word. We mentioned that on Sunday. Receiving the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word. Give us the power today, Lord, through the preaching of the word, to cast every devil of doubt and superstition and fear from the people's hearts and minds. And those who are bound by frustrations and doubt might be brought into the arms of Christ. How? Through the preaching of the word. Blessed Father, by the preaching of the word, these are standing still. They're standing like the sea stood to watch the works of God. Their emotions is now standing still. Their hearts are open. Their ears are listening. Their spirits are reaching out. The enemy has left them. By what? The preaching of the word. In the midst of fellowship. If there's someone here honest in your heart and know by the preaching of the word, you've become to believe this, that you are wrong. Something in your heart tells you that you're wrong. Israel and church. Someone else say, Brother Branham, I'm not what I ought to be tonight. I know I'm not. I've grieved my Lord. I'm not one of the persons who would run back there and pull. Let me read this part again so I'm not running it all together where you don't get it. Brother Ram speaking of himself, I'm not one of the persons who will run back there and pull you up here. No, no. If the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word doesn't do it, doesn't do me any good. See, that's right. You have to make your choice. If the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the word doesn't bring full persuasion, there's no need of me trying anything of my own. If the Holy Spirit himself can't convince you you're wrong, look back at your life, look at the way you live. Message of Christ. And the preaching of the word is the water of separation. For God has took his church and has washed it by the waters of separation to cleanse it for his own glory, and the word separates. The word is foolishness unto the world, but a water of separation to them that believe the preaching of the word. May each one now that's been separated from their sin, coming by acknowledging the word that's made them something come to their heart and said, you're wrong, raise your hand. The preaching of the gospel is foolish to them that perish, but it's eternal life to them who believe on the preaching of the word. message of why. They never done any miracles, only blinded them. And preaching the gospel blinds the unbeliever. Do you know that? Preaching of the word blinds him that believeth not. Message of Laodicean church. I'll give you some eye salve, and that eye salve will open your eyes. And if the preaching of the word don't do it, I don't want any other eye salve. Oh, if you only knew it, friends, you're the sons and daughters of God that God's trying to. You just got your eyes mattered. That's all. God spread some salve is what we want in this revival here, to get the eyes opened up. By what? The preaching of the word. That's how God applies the eye salve to our eyes. I believe David said it tastes like honey in the rock. Yes, the word of God is so sweet. I've seen it come into people's hearts by the old-fashioned sanctified preaching of the word, come down until people where it really actually just licked their lips like they was literally tasting something that was that good. When the blessings of the Lord would come so close and so loving and so kind. That's the way we want it in our services. We want it the way to where that we're enjoying the word coming forth. We want it to where that we enjoy the taste of the word, even when it's correction. I've got a series that I began to study on today. And it'll touch in at some point, it'll touch some on correction of the word. But I've got a series, and Lord willing, I'll start it Sunday. I think America tonight, like our lovely land here, is in the confusion. We can't have a revival, seem like. Why, there's been enough gospel preached around America, and God's worked enough signs and wonders to convert 1,000 nations this size. Great men across the country, Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and many of the great men of the world today, out preaching the gospel of deliverance and so forth, and great crowds and throngs come out. They listen, they go back, they sit down, and they go on their same routine. If you only knew, friend, that's spiritual. You have to realize that every person has a spirit in them. And if that person could only see what kind of a spirit dominated your life, that you would act indifferent toward Christ, you'd be ashamed of yourself. No matter how you're dressed, how well, how popular you are with the peoples, yet in your heart, if God could only turn the looking glass to your heart. Notice how quote after quote, I keep coming back to the looking glass, a mirror. Looking in a looking glass, seeing yourself. To take a look and see what spirit does dominate our life. Say, brother, praise God, I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I beg you, read Ephesians, or read Ephesians 4:30 and 31. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed to the day of your redemption. You can be sealed, but you can still grieve the Holy Spirit. If you don't put off from yourself all malice and strife and anger and all these things that it mentions there in Ephesians 4, those are things we deal with because we are human. Because we are flesh man. Because we have a human spirit that's governed by 5 gates. We deal with those things that Ephesians 4 and 30 and 31 talks about, even though we've been sealed. Because we've got to die to the flesh daily. All right, I want to just for a few moments here before we close, I want to look back at the scripture we read for our text. And I want to just deal with one verse here. And that's the 26th verse. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. This is in the message of enticing spirits. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence on behalf of those at the altar. Let thy grace rest upon each one of them, Father, now. As they, Lord, I can't do it for them. They've got to do it themselves. No man can do it for them. They have to do it alone. Let their souls now say in their selves, oh God, this temper, I lay it down here, Lord. I'll never pick it up. No matter what comes and goes, I'll let it go from now on. This tongue of mine that's been easy to take sides with a bunch of gossip, Lord, I'm laying it down here. I'll never pick it up again. Sanctify my tongue, Lord. Let me feel the angels come through like Isaiah did when he said, I'm of unclean lips, woe is me. And the angel come and took tongs and went to the altar and got the coals of fire and laid it on his lips and sanctified. God, sanctify every talker this morning that talks wrong and sows discord. Anytime that our conversation with someone brings a hindrance to the work of God here in any form, you don't have your tongue bridled. I don't care who you're talking to. I don't care what you're talking about. If it creates a spirit that brings a hindrance to the word coming forth here, then you need to get your tongue laid on the altar. There was a woman one time came to a preacher. She had been a big gossip. I know they always lay this on women, but it ain't just all women. Sometimes men. She had been such a big gossip. And she came up to the pastor and she said, Pastor, I finally come to lay my tongue on the altar. He said, Sis, I don't know if it's long enough. The altar. Faith is our victory. You may have tried to get rid of that ill temper, that slandering tongue, that gossip on the telephone. You know, back when Brother Branham was speaking, you had to be in a house somewhere or out on a payphone somewhere to be talking on the phone. Now you can be anywhere you want to be and be talking on the phone. You can be supposed to be working and talking on the phone. I would think somehow gossiping's got to be many more times worse. Gossiping on the phone since it's so much more readily available. When I was a young boy growing up, one part of the countries we lived in, the country we lived in, they had a lot of party lines. You'd have to pay. They didn't have private lines so much. They had a lot of party lines. And you could get on there and get to talking, and you could hear somebody else pick up on the line. And there were some that would pick up on the line just to listen to see what they could pick up, what they could talk about. And I can remember being on the line or having my mom or somebody on the line, and they would say, hold on just a minute. You can go ahead and hang that phone back up. You hear a click. You might have tried every remedy you know how, but if you'll let Jesus come into you tonight He'll operate on your faith and give you faith that'll climb beyond anything the world can produce. Why? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith. What's going to overcome and bridle our tongue? Faith. If we say anything to our families that discourages them, I'm talking about our families that come to church here. We say something to them that discourages them and hinders them in the service, then we need to get our tongue bridled. Because we shouldn't be discouraging one another, causing one another to come and sit in here and feel like, well, I don't know if I can get anything out of the service. We got to get rid of that stuff. Who are we ever going to get out of here? Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, and you got faith in what you're doing, no matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters that circumstance. Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it anyhow. See, it masters all circumstances. And faith and love is relation. Because you can't have faith unless you got love. Because your faith is in a God who is the very essence of love. Faith and love works together. So faith, he says, will bridle our tongue. And we need to have love, the love of God toward each other. Perfect love toward each other. Look, friends, we should be trying to help one another out, not harm one another in any way. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. Think about what you're speaking before you speak it. If I spoke this, would this be a hindrance? Then don't say it. Just because a thought runs through your head does not mean it's got to come across your lips. You don't have to speak everything you think. Sometimes your thinking gets off. Just because you think it don't make it right. Faith and love works together. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Nate, see, prepare to come. Lord willing, Sunday I want to speak about God's mercy. And I believe we'll have a little short series on it, speaking about the mercy of God. We're thankful for the mercy of God. We all need it. We can't do without it. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Sing over and over.